The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/expat2020. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Dan. This is episode 34. So, Dan, how you doing today, man?
I'm all right, man. How are you getting on?
It was a busy week. Was a little under the weather yesterday. So, yeah. I kind of rested, but I'm feeling better today, man.
Oh, good. So, good.
Yeah. So, how's the weather out there in the UK?
It's generally pleasant. It's a very lovely blue sky, clear blue skies today. Should be quite a nice little weekend.
Awesome. So it's time to introduce our special guest for this week. He's making his second appearance on the show, Twitch streamer Phoenix Arising.
Wee.
So Phoenix, welcome back to the show, and why don't you tell some of our new listeners out there what kind of games you've been playing recently and what have you been streaming?
Thanks for having me on a second time. The first time was a blast. I love doing stuff like this. I love hanging out with you guys. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
Lately, I've been kind of going through a rough patch. But like, I haven't really been streaming anything. I kind of just been focusing on getting things, you know, right around in my personal life and around my house. But I have been playing things like kind of diving back into like sports side of things, because you know, when I was younger I played football and stuff, but I've been playing NBA 2K21. Like, I've been kind of delving into like story mode on there and like just building my character up. And then Outriders came out, so I've been playing that with one of my buddies that's been there for emotional support, and he's kind of been talking to me about things and stuff like that. But
have you had any issues with Outriders?
No, actually. And we're actually doing cross-platform. Like, I'm playing on my Xbox One, and he's playing on the PS5. And we've had zero connectivity issues. I haven't had any weird glitches, or like, I haven't lost any of my save files. So everything's been good on that end. I haven't really had any issues with it at all.
Awesome.
Okay, besides that, you know, just the usual Apex and I want to say Vermintide, Warhammer, Vermintide. That game was pretty fun. Mm. I remember when Warhammer first came out, it was way different than what it is now, but I actually like the direction they're going with it. So,
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on again, Phoenix. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to having you on tonight. And before we move on, here's a brief message about where you can find the podcast.
Before Dan and Expat discuss what they have been playing, this episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, will be going up on Patreon at patreon.com/expat2020 in early access for the first 3 days after recording. So if you would like to support the show and become a patron at the entry tier 1 level at $1 per month and get early access to every episode and listen ad-free along with other perks, including exclusive post-show content after every show, plus special bonus episodes, please visit patreon.com/expat2020 for further details. On Tuesdays each week, the podcast will be uploaded to all of the free podcast services, where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Expat's YouTube channel, Expat2020 Gaming. Just download your favorite podcast app, or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a Discord called The Arena Podcast, where you can join and chat with The Arena Podcast community, and a website at expat2020.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena AMPGNP, as well as on Instagram at @TheArena_podcast. Now, back to the show.
Dan, what have you been playing this week, man?
What have I been playing this week? I've been playing a lot of old stuff, obviously. I started playing a couple of PS4 games. I got kind of bored, though. I started playing Metro Exodus, which is interesting. Very beautiful, but it just didn't grab me. I'll try and come back to it later. I also tried playing Code Vein, which is like an anime Dark Souls wannabe. That was okay. But mostly I was playing the oldies. I've got a couple of new toys in the post, which I'll talk about later in the episode. But yeah, I've been playing lots of classic games and just trying to sort some of my stuff out over this end. But yes. How about you? What have you been playing?
You're going to love this one, Dan. I went back to Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I went back to it again because hear me out. With every Assassin's Creed game, I'm one of the big fans of the Assassin's Creed series. I always have been. But when I play an Assassin's Creed game, after I finish the main story, I always want to go back and I want to try to get the most powerful weapon in the game.
Sure.
And in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, the most powerful weapon in the game is the Excalibur sword.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the game, basically, there are several locations throughout England where there are caves and you have to go into a cave and you have to, you know, solve particular puzzles and you have to do lots of jumping and climbing. And once you get to a certain area, then there might be a boss battle or two, or, you know, you just have to battle the environment to like, for example, there's some gas in certain areas of a particular portion of the cave, or you have to swim. And so you have to swim within a certain amount of time before you drown to be able to get to the area where there's a particular tablet. And there's like 11 tablets throughout the map in England that you have to collect to be able to go to this one specific location. And I'm not going to try to spoil anything for all of our listeners, but where it is close to Stonehenge is where the final cave is.
Would that be Woodhenge?
Nice.
Stonehenge. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but there's Woodhenge as well.
Okay.
Well, is that where the secret thing is? Oh my God.
I will let people figure that out.
Oh, okay. All right.
So anyway, so you go into this place and then you have to put these 11 tablets into a particular rock or stone, right? And then once you do that, you are able to pull out the Excalibur sword, and then it's yours. And so I finished that. I completed that. So,
well done.
Do you get the tablets from the other caves, or all the 11 tablets are in that cave?
Okay, so no, they're not in that cave. There are in different caves throughout the map in England, and they're not all in caves. I'd say about 6 or 7 of them are in caves, but the others are with the mercenaries, kind of like the Templar mercenaries around the country that you have to find, and you have to battle them and kill them to be able to take the tablets from them.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So it took a few hours to do all of that. So I did that, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Now I have the Excalibur sword. And now I can put down Assassin's Creed Valhalla again until the DLCs start coming out whenever that is later this year. So
that's pretty cool to have like a set mission, like a goal, like a personal objective inside a game, like besides just playing the game and grinding the story. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It makes the game fun.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've been pretty busy this week, so I haven't had a chance to play too many games. I do want to get back to Oddworld Soulstorm, though, on PS5. So, I'll probably be doing that this coming week. So, yeah.
But doesn't that,
so
doesn't
far, it's been pretty fun. Yeah, Dan, go ahead.
Doesn't that annoy you, though, like in games like Assassin's Creed and that sort of thing? Those, you know, most notably open world games where they have like this awesome ultimate ultra weapon, this ultimate goal, but by the time you've done, by the time you've got that weapon, you've met that goal, you've done literally everything else in the game, rendering it completely pointless. It's always struck me as like, why would I play anymore? You give me this amazing weapon, but I'm done now. I've played the game for like 200 hours.
Yeah, I'm never going to use it. But that's the thing about Valhalla, though. I'm not done. I mean, there's certain areas of Norway and certain areas of, I think it's around Greenland or close to North America that you actually go to. Certain areas that I haven't even ventured into yet. So that's how big this game really is. I mean, now that I have the ultimate weapon, I can actually start and do that if I wanted to.
I need to go back and actually play it. Like, I've played maybe 2 hours of it, so I really need to go back and dive into it because I didn't give it the chance that, you know, like, the last Assassin's Creed game that really drew me in was Black Flag, and I haven't really played any, like, got super into anyone since then, so really need to give Valhalla a chance. Dan, you don't really seem like you care for it too much, though.
No, I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't. I got to say, I really enjoyed Black Flag. Black Flag was amazing. But yeah, no, I'll give Valhalla a go at some point, certainly. But bleh.
Okay. He's like, yeah.
No, they're good. I get them. They're good. The series is good. For me, it peaked with the Ezio trilogy. I thought they were brilliant. You know, really well written and, you know, good fun. And kind of after that, I think it lost its way a bit. And maybe it's a bit generic. But I haven't played the last couple, so maybe it's been a turnaround. I know I've heard they're very, very good, so maybe I'll try and put a bit more time into the series. Yeah.
Cool. So we got a lot to talk about tonight in the news. Of course, I don't know. Do you guys, Dan, I know you don't have a PS5 yet.
Not yet.
Phoenix, do you have PS5 yet?
I still haven't been able to find one, dude. It's like tracking down, like, the rare mythical legend console that no one, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still this just unheard of thing. Like
the Excalibur PS5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the PS5 came out with its first major update. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about BioShock 4 apparently is going to go open world. The Resident Evil showcase, we're going to talk about that as well tonight, as well as the Nintendo Indie World showcase that was a few days ago. And then we're also going to be talking about the topic of the show, I should say, Sony and whether or not they should continue to try to go into the mobile market. We're going to be talking more about that later. But first, let's go ahead and get to the details about the PlayStation 5 update. It was the first major update. I'm going to go ahead and read this from the PlayStation blog. I'm just going to read some of the features of what they're doing with this big major update. So the first one, and this one I have some things to talk about. The PS5 games, for example, on the store will be compatible with external USB drives. So with this feature, you can now transfer your PS5 games to USB extended storage from your console's internal storage. So it's a great way to extend the storage capabilities of your PS5 console, and you can seamlessly copy your PS5 games back to the console's internal storage when you're ready to play. It is faster to reinstall PS5 games from USB extended storage than to re-download or copy them from a disc. So the thing about this, though, is you will not be able to play the game from your external hard disk. So basically what you'll have to do is you'll have to install it to your PS5 and then from the PS5 route it, install it onto your external disk. And basically it's just like a storage. You can't play it from there. If you want to play it, you have to take it from the external storage and then transfer it back to your PS5.
So pretty much it's just like it's a way to free up space on your PS5. Like, say you get done with a game or you're done with that game for now, you download it onto the storage space. And then when you want to come back to that game, you would just bring it back to your PS5, right?
Yeah. Well, the biggest deal here is that most of these games are supposed to take advantage of the SSD drive. And so the fact is that not many external drives are going to be SSD. So this is probably a feature that's going to change later on. I mean, when more people start to have external SSDs, probably you're going to be able to play the game directly from your external SSD. But at the moment, you can't do that. And I can't understand why you can't do that now, because if you can play PS4 games, you know, on an external hard disk, like you can download it from the store directly to your external hard disk and play it from the external hard disk. I mean, why can't a PS5 not be able to do that?
Yeah, my Xbox One can do that. Like, I have a 4 terabyte external hard drive that I use for my Xbox One, and it plays games from there perfectly.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, some more of the features, new social features for PS4 and PS5 consoles, cross-generation share play. So PS4 and PS5 players can now share play together while chatting in parties. This means PS5 console users can let their friends on PS4 consoles view their game screen or even try out the PS5 games through SharePlay and vice versa. Options include the ability to share your screen with a friend, pass your controller virtually to a friend, or pass a second controller virtually to play co-op games together.
That's actually pretty badass.
Yeah.
So, like, if someone's on a PS4 and their buddy has a PS5, then you could play as the second player on their co-op game that's on the PS5.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like here.
Yeah, that's actually really, really cool. That's cool that they did something like that.
Also, request to join game sessions. So a selection of your friends' joinable game sessions will now appear on both PS5 and PS4 consoles, allowing for more gameplay opportunities together. The request to join option also serves as a shortcut to sending a game invite, reducing the time it takes for you to get into games with friends. Through the privacy settings menu, you can modify who can interact with you through parties, games, and messages. And also enhanced control and personalization options for PS5 consoles. For example, improved game base. The game base menu has been improved for quicker access to important content and features. You can now easily switch between parties and friends to start chatting with your existing parties or see what each of your online friends is up to. In addition, you can turn notifications on or off for each of the parties you're in. So that's another one of the features. Also included in this update are the disable game chat or adjust player's volume. So you can now quickly disable in-game chat, which turns off your mic audio and the voice audio of other players. Additionally, you can easily adjust the individual voice chat volume of other players in the same chat, so you don't have to ask your friends to lower or increase their mic volume each time. Game update pre-download. So once it's enabled by developers, title updates for games will pre-download to your console if the automatic update setting is enabled and your console is on or in rest mode. This will let you start playing the latest version of a game immediately after the update's release. Customized game library. With the ability to hide games from view, it's now easier to find content and personalize your view of your game library. Also included is screen zoom. You can now adjust the magnification of the screen to suit your preference from the settings menu. And new trophy settings and stats screen. The level of trophies that results in automatic capture of a screenshot or video clip can now be customized. So you can now choose to only capture and save images, videos of moments when you earn higher grade trophies, like gold or platinum. They've also introduced a new player trophy stats screen, where you can check out the summary of your trophy level and status at a glance. So that's basically what is in this major update. So the one thing that I don't understand that they haven't implemented yet is folders. So like if you want to add folders for particular games, they still haven't done that yet. That'll probably be coming in a later update, but what do you guys think? What features here do you think, if you had a PlayStation 5 right now, which one would be the most important one for you of this first major update? Dan, how about you? What do you like about these updates or dislike?
I don't, you know, it's all very, it's pretty generic stuff, isn't it? It's nothing like pretty groundbreaking. I don't know what to say, really. There was a lot of information there. I've got no comment, actually. It just seems like stuff that should have been there, most of it should have been there from start anyway, shouldn't it? And yeah, I agree, folders, but then, you know, who's got, well, actually, you might have a massive library on your PS5 by now, actually, considering all the backwards compatibility you can do with the PS4. But yeah, no, just, you know, it's just, well, just generic, isn't it?
Yeah. Phoenix, how about you?
Same, I'm kind of the same with Dan, but I do like as far as if I had a PS5, I would agree that, you know, the whole being able to play the game from the external hard drive or the external USB drive, like that would come in handy, because otherwise it would just get, unless you literally like were taking your gameplay and your game and you're putting it on your external hard drive, and then you're going to someone else's house that has a different PS5 and you're putting that game back on there. You know what I'm saying? But even then, you said the game would have to be installed on the, their PS5 first. So, like, I could see that, you know, being kind of pretty much pointless unless, you know, you could just keep the game on the PS5 and not have to worry about swapping it back in two, unless you can play it straight from that external hard drive. But I like the idea about, because I don't have a PS5, but my buddy does. So, like, I have a PS4 and I could play something with him. So, like, that kind of makes me wonder, well, Demon's Souls, it really isn't like a, you know, split screen game. So I don't know how the co-op would work on that. I think I would have to have that game. So like to play it co-op with him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Had a little bit of a technical issue there, but we're back. So Phoenix, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you were saying about the PS5 update again?
Yeah. The fact that like me playing for my PS4 and then my buddy having his PS5, the fact that like we could play games together off of his PS5, and that you have the ability to transfer control over like a controller to your buddy, I think that's pretty ingenuitive, and it's a good part on PS5. I think they're actually really starting to ramp up things and make it more multiplayer friendly. And I think that's what, you know, nowadays that's a big thing online. You know, you want to play with your friends. There was like a time, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a time frame where hardly any games were co-op.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they're bringing everything more co-op friendly again. Like this actually is pretty awesome.
Cool. And Dan, you had something else to add?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking. So obviously, you know, the whole external storage thing is a sheer data speed issue, right? So yeah. You can't run the PS5 games for external because the whole thing about the PS5 is the games load instantly, no loading times, blah, 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 blah. What if there was like a conceit? What if there's like an asterisk of like, you can have things on USB storage, external storage, but you'll have to have loading times. Would you reckon the PS5 owning public would settle for that? Like, you can have Valhalla on an external drive, but you might have like a 5 or 6 second, 10, you know, delay in loading times. What do you think?
I would be completely cool with that because, I mean, on the PS4 Pro, I mean, it's pretty much like that already. Phoenix, what do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely trade a little bit of loading time for the ability to free up more internal storage for my game, you know, like for more games. I would definitely trade that off. I think that would, because the way I see it, like, all right, say, for instance, there's only 1 terabyte on your internal storage, but you've got 4 terabytes on your external storage. Yeah. Well, all the bulk of the game, like 500, you know, gigabytes or whatever, how much ever the game is, can be saved to your external, and that'll in turn free up more internal storage space for your clips, your screenshots, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Can we also just remember like how 1 terabyte is now essentially the same as nothing?
Yeah. You know, I think like as time's going on, games are bigger, you know, they're more demanding on
it's gonna get
as
crazy.
Far as yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. You know, you look back now, like the PS3 launch of like 20 gigabytes, and like, oh my god, how did that survive? And now you think about my PS5's got 1 terabyte, how are we gonna survive? It's
and then like the Call of Duty update. I don't even really play Call of Duty anymore, but I remember every time I would try to, like, you have a fucking 400 yeah. gigabyte update, and I'm like,
it's
what?
Lunacy, yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. So we were talking earlier before the technical issue came up. The BioShock 4, of course, is reportedly going to be open world. So there was a job listing by a senior writer at Developer Cloud Chamber asking for someone who can, quote, weave impactful character-driven stories in an open world setting, end quote. So looks like the game is going to be open world. So how do you guys feel about that? About open world BioShock game.
I was absolutely in love with the BioShock series. Like, me and my buddy, like, we went to school together, and before, like, you remember the first BioShock? When I'm only 29, so when the first BioShock, second BioShock came out, like, we were still kind of young. So like, I remember we would sit in my room for hours and play BioShock, just pass the controller back into, and that game was literally like just so amazing to me. Like, it was a different world. You're playing as this, you know, Big Daddy pretty much. And like, when Infinite came out, like, I didn't really enjoy that one as much as the first two, but the fact that they're making an open world one, like, that excites me. very much so. And I'm very excited to see the direction that they're going to take with it, because the lore in BioShock in itself is just absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah. Dan, how about you? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I absolutely second that. I'm hoping it's going to be more BioShock 1 than BioShock 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because like BioShock, it's like BioShock 1 isn't really, it's not really a first-person shooter. Well, it is, but it isn't. Like that's what 3 went so wrong as, because 3 just went a balls to the wall, just crazy shooty bang bang fest, and a lot of stuff got left behind. I'm hoping, if it's a more of a slower, more thoughtful, atmospheric game, that would be pretty friggin' special.
Exactly, and I think that's why that game was like the first one was so appealing to me, because it wasn't necessarily just balls to the wall. It was like you're amazed by this like aquatic underworld, like, you know, like you're just amazed by everything that's going on around you. There's like just so much stuff going on.
Yeah, and the game gave you time to enjoy that. Like there were pauses, there were breaks in it, like, you know, to stop it, to evaluate. And the environmental storytelling was way better in that one. See, the trouble with that though, like, I'm in an open world game, which, so if it's open world, they want you to spend 40, 80, 120 hours in this, right? Because that's what they want you to do in open world games. Will they be able to maintain that level of interest in something slower like BioShock 1? I mean,
that's where the excitement comes into play. I mean, it could bomb, you know, it could be shit, but at the same time, it's exciting nonetheless to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious, but
It definitely looks like BioShock 4 will remain a first-person shooter as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but could you guys see a BioShock game in third-person mode? Do you think that would be interesting?
Well, just be the same way. Fallout can flip between the two, I suppose. I mean, yeah, even this one probably could be. There could be, you know,
I'd still right play click. It.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll make a great difference. The whole point of BioShock, though, is like, you know, it's clever in that it is first person, and it's clever that there's always some sort of conceit that stops the main character speaking very much, you know, to increase immersion in that, which is quite good. But, I need to get back into it. Like, BioShock, that's my lady's favourite game of all time. And I haven't played it in a very long time. Yeah, so I might have to go back and have another go.
Yeah, it was back in December of 2019 that 2K finally confirmed that a new BioShock game was in development. So maybe in June for E3, maybe we'll see a first trailer of BioShock.
Yeah, 4. Another bullshit CGI trailer, and then coming 2025.
Yeah, really.
There you go. Old shit.
Yeah. Just like the Perfect Dark, the Perfect Dark trailer. It would probably be something like that, right? Yeah.
Pointless.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. So now, next up on the weekly news beat, the Resident Evil of Showcase was just the other day. So a lot to talk about the Showcase. The first thing that was announced, Resident Evil 4 in VR.
Ooh.
Announced for Oculus Quest 2. Oculus Quest 2, so...
That's going to be awesome. I love that game.
Yeah. Yep. So Capcom has announced that Resident Evil 4 is getting a full VR port for the Oculus Quest 2. This version of Resident Evil 4 will be in first person, while more details will be revealed on April 21st. April 21st, there's going to be an Oculus Games showcase. So we're going to get more information then. There was a teaser that showed things like Leon holding weapons, interacting with a virtual attaché case, and using a virtual hand crank for one of the puzzles. So, yeah. It's too bad it's not coming to PlayStation VR, but then again,
That's the
Oculus
thing. That's
Quest, yeah.
That kind of pissed me off, because obviously Facebook's gone, we have nothing to do with this. You know, we have nothing on the Oculus. Let's just throw a shitload of money at Capcom and get an exclusive, because, oh my God, that would be... I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't run that on PSVR. It's not graphically impressive. It looks like a bloody PS2 game in VR. Obviously, this is a pure money issue. Facebook went, here's a shitload of money. Make sure it never goes anywhere else. Because you'd think, you know, a Sony machine, this would be prime for bloody, you know, considering the history of Resi on the PlayStation, it would be perfect.
Next up, Resident Evil Village's gameplay demo arrives next week for PlayStation owners, early May for all platforms. So while PlayStation 5 owners have already gotten a taste of Resident Evil Village, all platforms will soon be able to try out a gameplay demo that will let players explore both the village and castle portions of the game for 1 hour. So PlayStation owners will have early access to the demo next week, and the village and castle portions will be separated into 2 days. Each demo will be available to download and play over an 8-hour window, although the game time is limited to 30 minutes for each. So in North America, so for Phoenix, for you, on May 1st, 5 p.m. Pacific time, May 2nd through May 2nd, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Europe, for you, Dan, May 2nd, 2 a.m. CEST through May 3rd, 2 a.m. CEST. And in Asia, where I am here, May 2nd, 8 a.m. HKT, which is Hong Kong time, through May 3rd, 8 a.m. Hong Kong time. The demo will arrive for all platforms, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Series S, Steam, and Google Stadia on May 1st through 2nd. And players will have an hour to play both the village demo and castle demo and can choose how they split their time. Nice. So, yeah. So the village demo, North America, April 17th, 5 p.m. Pacific time through April 18th, 1 a.m. Pacific time. Europe, April 18th, 7 a.m. CEST through April 19th, 3 a.m. CEST. And in Asia, April 18th, 5 p.m. HKT, Hong Kong time, through April 19th, 1 a.m. Hong Kong time.
Wait, so that's today for me?
Yeah, April 17th, yeah.
What time?
5 p.m. Pacific time.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, through April 18th, 1 a.m. Pacific time. Nice. So the castle demo for North America, April 24th, 5 p.m. Pacific time, through April 25th, 1 a.m. Pacific time. In Europe, April 25th, 7 p.m. CEST through April 26th, 3 a.m. CEST. And in Asia, April 25th, 5 p.m. Hong Kong time through April 26th, 1 a.m. Hong Kong time. So, yeah, so we have a village demo and a castle demo. Yeah. Which would you guys prefer, either the village or the castle demo?
I've seen videos on the village. I mean, it does look awesome, but I haven't seen anything on the castle yet. So I want to explore that a little bit and see what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan, how about you? Either or?
Either. Yeah. Both. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just give me just fucking let me play it.
Yeah. Multiple demos. It's cute. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Just give me them both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next up, the Resident Evil Village trailer featured, the vampire lady, Ethan Winters, and more. So, yeah, that was a pretty cool trailer that they showed. And then Resident Evil Mercenaries returns in Resident Evil Village. So Resident Evil Mercenaries, a popular time trial mode that's been around since Resident Evil 3, returns in Resident Evil Village. The mode was last seen in Resident Evil 6, and the idea is to let players compete in high score challenges by racking up kills and collecting time extension bonuses. It will include new features like power upgrades and weapon shops between rounds. So how you guys feel about this? You guys looking forward to getting back into Mercenaries?
Definitely. That was something that me and my buddy, we always used to do that. Like, even on Resident Evil 5, like, we would go through and like try to see who could get like the most loot and who could get like the best guns. And we'd always, cause like, I think on Resident Evil 5, like once you pick something up, like a shotgun, like you could give it to your friends. So like, or you could keep it for yourself. And we'd always, he's like, let me get the machine gun, I'll let you get the shotgun, blah, blah, blah. Like, we just always tried to get the best weapon. And like for our role, you know what I mean? Like if he was point, he'd get the shotgun. And if I was point, I'd get the shotgun and vice versa.
Cool.
So I like the fact that they're bringing something besides just story to it.
Well, speaking of story, next up in the showcase, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness is about a zombie outbreak at the White House. So they premiered the first trailer for Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, a new animated movie coming to Netflix this July.
Oh, sweet.
So Infinite Darkness reunites Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield as they fend off against a zombie outbreak in the White House. And as you probably might already know, Leon once rescued the president's daughter, Ashley Graham, in Resident Evil 4.
Leon!
So, yeah.
Leon!
So there you go. Now he's
gotta love the voice acting.
Yeah. So now he's protecting President Graham from zombies at the White House. So anyway, I don't know. Well, what did you guys think of this trailer? It was pretty cool, man. Yeah.
They owe him a huge debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of really wonky anime Resi films, haven't they, lately? There's been like two or three, and they've been really, really bad. So hopefully, with Netflix involved, this might be a bit, well, up the quality a bit. But I'm excited for this. You know, it should be quite
good. Yeah. Yeah, that
they need to just bring Mila Jovovich back and just come out with another resume.
Yeah, the trailer looked pretty good, though. I mean, the you know, the graphical quality of it looked pretty good. So I guess Netflix is putting a lot of money into it as well. So we shall see. But it comes out in July. Yep,
they don't quite look like, you know. It's a bit of a different from, you think they'd stick with the like Resi 2 remake character models, but they're a bit different, aren't they? It's like every time you see Leon Kennedy, he's slightly different.
Yeah.
And again, going back to one of the, I can't remember what it's called now. There's a, like a CG animation of Resi Evil a long time ago, and Leon looks completely crazy. Like you wouldn't even recognize him unless he had like the badge on saying, "Hi, I'm Leon S. Kennedy." It's crazy. But yeah, why aren't they just consistent with the character models? Really weird. Yeah. Anyway.
And then finally, Resident Evil Dead by Daylight collaboration was announced. So Dead by Daylight is getting a collaboration event with Resident Evil. So Behavior Interactive will reveal the Resident Evil chapter on May 25th during Dead by Daylight's 5th anniversary stream. So the collaboration chapter will be released in June. So.
Can I say something about Dead by Daylight real quick?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Dude, I fucking, like, that game is so good, but those load times kill me. Like, the time it takes to queue up into a game is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you would think that they would have fixed that by now.
Really?
But you're literally sitting there waiting for 30 minutes to get into a lobby.
Here in Japan, it takes more than that. It takes, like, an hour. It's crazy.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
What? But is that just because there's not enough players? Or just,
there's a plenty of people that play it. No, I mean, it's just there's always people playing that game. There was no reason, absolutely no reason for that, for the lobbies to be that long. And the only thing that I can think of is, like, so, like, if you're playing as the killer,
yeah,
you should queue up quickly. But, like, if you're going in as a solo survivor, I understand there's people that, you know, they play with their friends and all that, so you have to find a lobby for one, you know, just one person. But, like, you know, you would think that as you're playing as a killer, you would think that queue times would go quickly, but no. Because I like playing as a killer. I don't really have people, you know, a lot of people to play with, like, as just survivors or whatever, because communication is pretty much key if you're playing as a survivor on there.
Yeah,
but
well, as you were talking about, there's a lot of people on the servers. Yeah, that's in the U.S., but in Japan, who probably not many people play Dead by Daylight out of here in Japan. So probably there's like one or two people waiting for a server, you know, waiting for waiting to get on. So yeah, I don't know.
Can't you choose what server to use though? I know that's a feature in some games. You can say I want to hop over to the Asia server or blah blah blah. Can you not change?
Honestly, I don't know. That's a good point. I've never tried that. So yeah. But
fair enough.
Yeah. So anyway, what do you think of this Resident Evil showcase? Are you more excited for it, or is it something that you're going to, you know, put off? I mean, like, for me, I'm probably going to wait until like Halloween season to probably play this game. I don't know. But what do you guys think?
I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. I'll wait till PS5 season. And then coming 2026 sometime.
It would be nice to play it on new gen console, but you know, obviously it's, like I said, it's still hard to get that. So if there's no other games out when that comes out, you know what I mean? If there's nothing else I'm playing, I'll definitely probably scoop it. Because I'm sure they'll have the thing where you get it on one console and it's upgradable or whatever.
Yeah. I want to point out though, but at the end of April, unless there's another delay, Returnal, the game from Housemarque, that's going to be coming out the end of April. So, you know, but that's PS5. So,
isn't Back 4 Blood coming out sometime soon?
It might be. Probably it was pushed back. I'm not sure, but.
Oh, yeah, that's right. June. I think it got pushed back to June.
So that's, it's going to be after. But, I mean, I could see wait until Halloween just. For me personally, Halloween season would be the best time to play this game, I think.
To get it discounted. The whole atmosphere.
Yeah. And it'll be probably half off by then. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. So our Japan focus today is going to be on the Nintendo Indie World Showcase that we had just the other day. So we had a couple of showcases this week. So there's a lot of games that they showed. I mean, it's almost like Nintendo could basically do one of these indie showcases every week because of the enormous amount of new games that come out on the Switch. It's just amazing, you know. But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and scroll down here and I'm read to you guys the games that were announced. So the first game that was announced, Road 96. So Road 96 is a procedural narrative game created by Digic Arts, where players take on the role of teenagers. Your decisions will greatly affect what happens in the story. It comes to Nintendo Switch later this year. So that looked pretty interesting. Many different... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So next up, Aerial Knights Never Yield. So this is a 3D side-scroller where players control Wally as he jumps, runs, and dashes through platforming areas using his acrobatic prowess. The game releases on May 19th, 2021. The demo will be available on the Nintendo eShop later today. So, which it's now out. Yeah. So, you
did you see the backstory to that? Like they denied him. Like he made the game, and like the studio that he took it to, they like denied him. They turned him down. But with the help of his friends and stuff, he got it pushed, and it looks really good to me. Like I really dig like free running and stuff like that. Like the Mirror's Edge games, the parkour games. Like I like stuff like that. So I'm definitely gonna check this one out.
Cool. Next up on the list, Last Stop, Annapurna Interactive's supernatural adventure game has players exploring three stories that tie together. It releases in July of this year. So that looked pretty interesting as well. Hindsight, peer into memories and futures in this artistic game published by Annapurna. So there's a couple of games by Annapurna Interactive that are going to be coming out. It will come to Nintendo Switch later this year. So another game from Annapurna. Ollie World was also showed. Go on random road trips with your friends in order to find sweet places to skate with Roll 7's upcoming skateboard game. It will come to Nintendo Switch this winter.
I'll definitely be getting that one.
Yeah. A game called The Longing, and actually this game is out now. It was already released in studio how do you pronounce that? SEUFZ Suvs, I guess. Suvs. Upcoming title. Yeah. You play as a shade servant who's waiting for you, your king, to reawaken. However, it's going to take 400 days for that to happen. Pass the time by exploring and completing puzzles. It released on Nintendo Switch the day of the showcase. So
that's like a survival game, right? It's 400 real world days.
Yeah.
So like it's real time.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Next up, There Is No Game, Wrong Dimension, created by French developer Dramia Pixel. There Is No Game, Wrong Dimension is a point and click that focuses on solving puzzles and a fun comedy adventure. It releases on Switch at this point. So it was released the day of the showcase. So a couple of games that were released the same day. And here's the one you were talking about earlier, Phoenix, before we started recording. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Boy.
Yeah.
So Tribute good. It's Games. Like Turtles in
Time. Yeah. Tribute Games took inspiration from classic TMNT fighting games in order to create this modern arcade-style fighter. Play as Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, or Leonardo as you take down the Foot Clan. It releases on Nintendo Switch later this year.
Radical, dude!
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Yeah. And they get bonus points because Mike Patton of Faith No More is singing the Turtle song.
Oh, that's fucking dope!
Which is legit awesome.
Yes, it is. Faith No More is so good.
Darn Skippy.
Next up on the list, Chris Tales, Dreams Incorporated, and SYCK's game draws inspiration from JRPGs, but is unique in that it employs time travel. For instance, you can make your enemies younger and thus easier to defeat.
Yes.
It releases on Nintendo Switch on July 20th.
I'm so fucking excited for that game, dude. Like, my eyes lit up when I seen that. I'm huge, huge on JRPG games, and I absolutely love the idea of being able to, like, time travel mid-battle, like, yeah, make your enemies age and stuff like that. That's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Next up from the showcase, Getsu Fumaden, Undying Moon. So fierce boss battles and challenging dungeons are coming your way in this hack and slash adventure developed by Guru Guru. It comes to Nintendo Switch in 2022, so next year. So yeah, looks cool. Next up, Aztec Forgotten Gods. So this kind of reminded me of Horizon Zero Dawn, kind of in a sense. Yeah, a Nintendo Switch type of game that kind of reminds you of Horizon, but... Lienzo's game mixes Aztec mythology with modern technology as you take down massive deities. Comes in Nintendo Switch fall 2021. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Skull, the Hero Slayer. So Southpaw Games turns the cliche format of a hero fighting hordes to defeat a demon king on its head. Instead, you play as a lowly skeleton out to rescue your demon king. Switching your head gives you new abilities. It comes to the Switch summer of this year. Mm. So, and then Oxenfree 2. Yes. Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals. So the sequel to the popular supernatural mystery graphic adventure is coming to Nintendo Switch sometime in 2021. So no release date or anything yet. Announced as this was just a teaser, basically. So. Yeah, Phoenix, what were you saying?
Have you guys played the first one? I haven't even played the first one.
I played briefly, but yeah, not much of it. So, yeah. Dan, how about you? Yeah.
No.
Okay. And then just a list of some of the additional games. They were announced in quick succession, so not much was shown. Art of Rally, so coming this summer. Kiway, available in August. Labyrinth City, Pierre the Maze Detective, available later this spring. Weaving Tides, available this May. The House of the Dead remake, coming later this year. Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights, on June 21st. Beasts of the Maravilla Island, coming this June. And then Fez, available now. So, yeah, the whole huge list of games here.
Well, I'm glad that Nintendo Switch is getting some titles that are specific to that console, because it's besides like Mario games and stuff like that, it's been a minute since they've had a good lineup, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I mean,
I have a Nintendo Switch. There's literally nothing. Like, I play Smash Brothers on it. And I've been playing Monster Hunter Rise, and other than that, like, I literally don't use it.
Yeah. Like Dan and I have said for a long time, the Switch, the Vita was like a huge indie machine. God, dude.
Yes, it was. The Vita.
Huge indie machine. I love the Vita. Whereas now, money. I mean, since the Vita is pretty much dead now, unfortunately, I mean, the Switch is... pretty much taken over
games, you know, but they're not like releasing any new games, but you can still get right. You got to order them offline. There was a good game on there. I can't remember if it was the Vita or just the PSP, but it was called like Gun Year. I think it was Gun Year, something like that, but it was like a JRPG, like a strategy RPG. Loved it, dude. It reminded me of Final Fantasy Tactics, but with like better graphics. And it was awesome. I remember playing that game for hours.
Yeah, so I mean the Switch, I mean it's a huge indie machine. So with this showcase, and there's probably going to be more coming down the pipe, especially with E3 coming up too. So E3 is going to be probably pretty big for Nintendo. I don't know. Dan, what do you think, man?
I don't know, like, but it's an impressive lineup of indies, but you know, there's nothing really groundbreaking or earth-shaking about it. I mean, there's some good stuff on it, don't get me wrong, but like, you know, what else is what's the Nintendo release window looking like for this year? Like, what have they even got coming out?
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You got Splatoon 3 coming next year. That's in the summer. Breath of the Wild 2. Zelda's ready. Yeah.
Yeah, not this year.
Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a big one when it does come out.
That's going to kind of
makes you wonder, like, if they're all they're putting all their resources just focusing into that, you know what I mean? Or into those two games. I don't know. I kind of feel like Nintendo just they haven't been up to par. Like, I remember Nintendo being real big back when, like, Game Boy came out and Nintendo 64. Like, you know, like, Nintendo was huge, and now it's just kind of, like, slowly dying off. Which, don't get me wrong, you know, there's still big titles that, you know, the Mario Odyssey and Super Smash Brothers and, you know, Breath of the Wild and stuff like that. But they're not, there's nothing, they haven't brought anything, like, new to the table in years.
I mean, looking at the release schedule for 2021, there's nothing massive on here.
Yeah, there's nothing big. They haven't done anything big in a while.
Like Skyward Sword, Monster Hunter Stories 2, whatever the hell that is. Ninja Gaiden Collection, but that's a remake of old games. You know, it's their thing is actually, it's pretty bleak looking at it.
Well, just about a week or two ago, the Nintendo CEO, he was commenting in the media that we really need to start focusing on new IPs.
Yeah, he really does, because he's got there's nothing from Nintendo coming out this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if huge Nintendo fans weren't just dwindling off.
I guess, yeah, because I mean, you can only be a fanboy for so long before you realize there's nothing to be fanboyish about.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, Xbox and PS5, they're fucking PlayStation and Xbox. They're killing it. They're just back to back coming out with these amazing AAA titles, and then Nintendo literally has nothing for it.
But what you have to remember though, is Nintendo can rely on its base, and their base is here in Japan. And their base is a bunch of elementary school and junior high school kids that only play Nintendo games. And it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. And it's held them up for years. I mean, with the DS, the 3DS generations and everything, they will continue to support the Nintendo Switch and
the front runner of mobile gaming, pretty much. Like,
Yep. And speaking of mobile games, that leads us to our topic of the show. So, looks like recently Sony came out and said we're going to try to get into the mobile space again. So, I mean, is the mobile scene going to be PlayStation's future, basically? So, I mean, they've tried their hand at mobile gaming a few times before. So, like in 2011, Sony had adopted the Xperia smartphones. I don't know if you remember those, the Xperia smartphone lineup for gaming with Xperia Play. It was basically called a PlayStation phone, actually. So, and it included a slide out gamepad, but the phone wasn't, it was ahead of its time, basically. So it didn't really pan out, unfortunately. So, but now you've got you've got stuff that's gamepads that are designed for smartphones now, like, those Razer Kishis that are out, you know, and of course the amount of money that's being made in the mobile market each year. So, I mean, $10 billion in revenue alone in America in 2020, and $77 billion worldwide. So, I mean,
good God almighty, dude. Yeah. That's a lot.
So, I mean, it's huge. I mean, of course, Dan, as you know, in Japan, I mean, mobile gaming is king.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, Sony being a Japanese company, you can, you know, imagine they would probably want to you know, take a piece of that pie. So I don't know, what do you guys think? I mean, is this a smart move for Sony to try to get back into mobile gaming again, and
I mean,
is this the future of PlayStation?
Third time will be the charm. I'm hoping if they do, I don't necessarily want them to be like, you know, PlayStation 5 mobile. Like, I think, like you said about the PlayStation phones, like, I think they should specifically come out with, like, a mobile device, you know, not necessarily have, like, exclusive games for that mobile device, but, like, you know, incorporate something like that into it. That way, you know, it's not just, like, copying the Switch. Like, you could just take it on the go, take your PlayStation 5 on the go or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think they should incorporate, like, a whole, kind of like the PS Vita or the PSP, like something like that, a newer one. I don't even know about the US, you know, or was it UMDs, like the little discs that were in the plastic cases. Like, I don't know about that, you know, necessarily, but I'm excited to see what they got, like, see what they got planned for. I'm definitely going to do some research into it and see what they got going on. But I can see it going two ways, but like you said, Japan is their biggest base, or, you know, or that's where they're based at, and everybody over there is on Nintendo. Nintendo's mobile, so maybe if they get into the mobile aspect of things, then it'll pop off for them there. So it's definitely going to be exciting to see what they do with it.
But are they? It doesn't sound like they're making handhelds. It sounds like they just want to port, make like gacha or crappy free to play games to mobile. So
that's their idea initially for the time being is to do that.
Yeah. So there'll be like a Horizon Zero Dawn shitty mobile game, collect the tokens and build up Aloy's armor, and then...
Well, that's what they have to be careful about, not doing stuff like that. Yeah.
You think it'll be like, say for instance, I don't know, like say the Resident Evil game, they're going to have a mobile game that lets you do stuff that counts towards the actual game.
Like, yeah, get earn tokens in the mobile game that you can use in your main game, link your account, all that jazz. Yeah, feasibly, yeah.
I don't know, we'll have to see.
But how far do you think we are, though, from a time where smartphone technology is going to either match with console technology or overtake that technology?
Well, you don't need to. You can just stream. So you could have the biggest piece of shit phone known to man. As long as it's got an internet connection, you can have 8K gaming. So anyone could do it tomorrow. Anyone could go, okay, we're going to stream PS5 games to your phone. Well, Xbox is already doing it.
Well, you could do that right now. Like with PS4, they got the second screen. You know, you could just use your phone. You could actually US or Bluetooth your PlayStation 4 remote to your phone. And as long as you're on the same internet connection as your PS4, you can play your PS4 games off your phone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they do have that kind of incorporated into it, but I don't know, man. It's going to be different. I think if they got to do it right, though. You know, it can't, like Dan said, it can't just be a little crappy, cheesy mobile games. That they need to do something big for it to really pop out, you know, for it to really just hit them in the mouth with it.
Mm.
Should they follow the Switch's model, Nintendo's model?
No.
I mean, I think they should do something different. I don't want Nintendo to feel like they kind of copied them, you know. Like, everybody's going to say that, oh, it's just a ripoff of the Switch.
Like,
I think they should do... I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
No, after you go on.
I was just saying, I think they should do something different. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, I agree. They'll never make another handheld. Not a chance. I mean, the Vita was effing perfect, and they stacked it. Like, how they got the Vita wrong is an absolute crime. They'd given up on it the day they launched the bloody thing.
Yeah, there was no support.
No support. It could have been an absolute monster, that thing. It really should have been.
It could have. And that's, I don't know, like, how they didn't understand that.
Yeah, that was the Vita was their Switch.
Does the Vita not get enough, like, support? Like, did it not get enough sales or what? Like, did they not see that it was a big thing?
It could, but they had that stupid proprietary bloody memory cards, all that stuff. So, you know, you had the machine was expensive. And if you wanted to actually put some games on it, you had to spend another $50 on a memory card for it.
Yeah.
Very little first party support for it. They made a couple of games begrudgingly, and then they left it up to the indie developers and third party developers to keep it going.
That was the big thing. There was no, technically, no first party support for the Vita. Yeah.
Well, as far as like,
there was some, but not much. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It should have been monstrous.
Well, maybe they'll do something like that, though. Maybe they'll bring something back that's like Vita 2, but like, actually support it this time or something. You know what I mean?
Oh God, that'd be a miracle. But that'd be pretty good. And if that's just an internet connection, you know, so it's a screen with a modem that hooks up to your PS5 or to a server farm somewhere in Asia that lets you play PS5 games in real time. That's feasible.
Yeah, that would be cool.
What they're basically worried about is they're worried about xCloud. And I think to match xCloud and when it comes to being able to, you know, do remote play from like your PS5 over to a mobile phone or something like that.
Well, just do that. Just have PS Cloud. Easy solution. I mean, they should have been way ahead of this. They bought Flutty on Live like 10 friggin' years ago. They should have been well on this. They should have been way ahead of the game. with online streaming and all that jazz, because they've had the technology for a long ass time.
They've seen where it was going, dude. They know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like with Microsoft. I mean, they have the billions of dollars to just throw into it. I mean, they have tons of money to invest in it.
Yeah, I guess
Sony. Yeah, doesn't have that kind of money. It'll be interesting to see. I think we're not going to see any, you know, real. I think when it comes to if Sony's going to be successful with this, I don't think we're going to see it in the near future. It's going to probably be 5 to 10 years down the road before we see if
we're not going to see any like big moves. They have to decide what they want to do before they do it. So. They just know that they want to go back towards mobile. They don't know necessarily what they want to do with it. So I agree with you on that. I think it's going to be a while before we see anything from them.
Yeah.
I mean, the big focus now is PS5, right? They just need to focus on producing PS5s. And
get
instead
those out.
Of buying them online, send them to stores so scalpers can't take them.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, we have a PS5 stock available. Well, let me go queue up. And then I'm sitting in a queue for 30 minutes, and then it's like, oh, we're sold out.
Yep.
It's like, well, fucking send one to my store so I can go buy it, dude. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that's my rant. I'm done.
Apps.
I've never, ever had a problem. Like, I'm a nerd, dude. I've been a nerd since I could walk, since I could crawl. I can't play Demon's Souls because I can't get a PS5, and it's aggravating the shit out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is it's going to get worse and worse probably before it gets better.
Because they can't get right now. I don't know about like anywhere else. Me and Dan were talking about it earlier when the technical issue happened, but our country can't get semiconductors because our imports have kind of stopped. So I don't know at what point our country decided, okay, well, instead of being self-sustainable and being able to build anything that we need right here in our country, we're just going to start importing everything. And then now we got all this mess happening and we can't import stuff. So like Ford, the big Ford company that build Ford trucks is shutting down because they can't get parts to build their trucks.
Nuts. So crazy.
That's just ridiculous, dude. So many people is going to be out of jobs because of that. As if the unemployment rate wasn't already bad.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for the topic of the show. So next up, Dan, your retro topic of the week. So Dan, what do you have for us this week in the retro scene?
So as you know, retro collecting is a big thing, and recently, for no reason, shit's got really, 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 really expensive. Like everyone is now a effing retro collector. And everyone's like, oh, I've got this. Oh, I've got Super Mario 3 on a NES. Oh, that's worth $100. So it's becoming absolutely fucking miserable now. Like if you want to be a retro collector, just forget it. Don't bother. It's lunacy now. The prices on stuff is getting crazy. Like, especially games. Hardware, the prices have been fairly steady. Software prices are going absolutely nuts. So a couple of alternatives to that is if you want to play these old games, because like me, I have a collection, but it's not very focused. I just have shitloads of games of old games. There's nothing focused, nothing specific about my collection. I get these games because I want to play them mostly. So if you're like me and you want to play these games, like your best and cheapest bet is emulation, which we talked about numerous times. Just play the games on your PC or another system, whatever. But today I want to talk about. Yeah, exactly. Retro or Emulation Station or Batacera Linux or all these different things. They're all frigging amazing and all so easy now. Oh my God. Remember when I first started using Emulation Station? It was a right pain in the ass. they've made it. They've consolized everything. Anyway, that's by the by. What I recommend doing now is, seeing as the hardware prices are fairly sturdy, is to buy whatever hardware you want. And rather than buy games for it, buy yourself a flash cart. So a flash cart is a simple device. It's shaped like a video game cartridge, but inside there's some clever circuitry and processors and an SD card slot. And essentially, right? So I mean, I'm probably telling people how to suck eggs here, but like a flash cart, that's what it does. It lets you play an entire library of games off one system, of one cartridge, and it's friggin' amazing because you get where people say emulation is not so great because it's not perfect. It's not original hardware. It's not original software. There might be miscommunication between the emulation and the game itself, so you're not getting the authentic experience. Whereas with flashcards, you pretty much are. You're getting 99% what original hardware and original software would have been. And the good thing is every machine has it. And an even better thing is it's been going on for so long now that China has just started ripping off everyone's ideas. So whereas a Super Nintendo flash cart would have been £100 to £150, you can get one from China for 20.
Nice.
Right? So you can
basically
have...
you're saying for my Super Nintendo, I can just get a cartridge that's got an SD slot, and then I can download all the Super Nintendo ROMs onto that SD slot and just plug it into my Super Nintendo and pick from it.
Exactly that.
Oh, and, man, that's beautiful.
Right, and you'd never know. It all runs flawlessly. It runs perfectly. You get save states. You get some of them. You can have cheats built into the cartridge, so when you load it up, it acts like an action replay or a Game Shark device.
Nice.
So there's some games don't work. So if it had additional hardware in the cartridge, it won't work. So like things like Star Fox and Stunt Race FX, which had the processor chip in there, the FX chip, they won't work because it doesn't have that inside. Anything that had to have fancy additions won't work, but 99% of your back catalog will run off these cards. So if you have a look at eBay or AliExpress and you type in whatever system you want, I mean, literally every system has them. I personally have Master System, Mega Drives, SNES, N64, a bunch of them. And they're freaking amazing. And yeah, like I said, they've been out for so long now, they're dirt cheap. So yeah, if you want to be a collector and have nice shiny boxes, well, buy the reproduction boxes off eBay, save yourself a fortune on games. If you actually want to play the games yourself, just cut all that BS, get yourself a flash cart. It's amazing. I spent all last night, I was up till God knows when, I was playing GoldenEye on the N64 and a bunch of other games. It's amazing. It's the time of the flash cart and everything, like Game Boy Color, all that, Game Gear.
See, for me, like PS1 is like my personal, you know, retro addiction, PS1, PS2. So like I have a bunch of PS1 and PS2 games from like actual copies, because I still have my PS2 and my PS1 memory cards and stuff. So
there was a little I don't know if it's still in production, but a while ago they made a little dongle that goes on the serial IO port on the back of your PS, which did the same thing. You could put a bunch of games on SD card, plug it in, and it would read from that.
I'm gonna have to see if I can find one of those, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty limited production, but most things, like there's one for the GameCube as well, like run GameCube games off an SD card. You have to mod chip that one.
Yeah.
It's incredible. There are solutions for pretty much everything now. Everything that had a cartridge or similar. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
All right, Dan. So thanks for the retro topic of the week again this week. So yes, flash carts. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Get them now.
Yep. All right. So next up are new and upcoming video game releases for the week of April 19th through 25th via Metacritic. There are 5 games on the list this week. 5 games. So the first one on the list, Don't Forget Me, comes out on PC. It's exclusive to PC.
I don't know if you guys have
ever heard of this one, but a jazz punk adventure game with a twist. Don't Forget Me is a new breed of puzzle game. Dive into the memories of your patients. Use your own observations to unwrap their minds and uncover a dark conspiracy set to claim dominion over humanity. So on April 20th, yes, for PC, PC only, so not for console. Next up on the list, Atelier Mysterious Trilogy Deluxe Pack comes on April 22nd for PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. So it's a compilation set. Atelier Sophia DX, Atelier Furious DX, Atelier Liddy and Sewell DX, with brand new content and various DLCs. The definitive edition for the Atelier Mysterious series is now available. So a compilation. So coming on April 22nd.
Can I quickly add something real quick?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Apparently, Capcom is having a huge sale right now on Steam. Everything is 80% off this weekend only. 80% off on everything Capcom.
Awesome. Awesome.
That is awesome. I'm going to investigate.
Yeah. So that would be all the Resident Evil games, I would think. Yeah,
yeah, literally. Resident Evil, Street Fighter, Devil May Cry, like Devil May Cry 5, Devil May Cry 4, the HD collection, Monster Hunter, all the Mega Mans. They got Dead Risings, all the Dead Risings, Dragon Age, Dogma. They got Okami, Omniishi, Marvel vs. Capcom. Bionic Commando, everything, like everything, dude. Everything Capcom is 80% off.
Awesome. Cool.
Resi 3 for £3.74. Resi 4 even for £3.74. That's a bargain.
Yeah, it is, dude.
Bargain. Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, no problem. So next up on the list, MotoGP 21 comes out on April 22nd for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, PC, Nintendo Switch, and Google Stadia.
Oh, I remember Google Stadia. Is that still going? Good on them.
Yeah. It seems like it is.
Yeah.
Discover all the official rosters and tracks and experience the thrill of the 2021 season. And if you want to dive into the past, you can relive the MotoGP history with more than 40 riders and their iconic bikes. Mm. So racing simulation. So it comes out on April 22nd. Dan, you know this one, and I'm looking forward to this one, too. Next up on the list, Judgment. The remaster of Judgment comes on April 23rd. Yes, for PS5, Xbox Series X, and Google Stadia.
Hey, that was a good. I actually enjoyed that, looking back on it. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good game.
From the makers of the acclaimed Yakuza series, Ryuga Gotoku Studio, Judgment is the dramatic tale of a disgraced lawyer seeking redemption in a world rife with corruption and despair. Investigate the seedy red light district of Kamurocho by stepping into the mind of private detective Takayuki Yagami. So Takayuki Yagami's character is a very famous actor in Japan named Kimura Takuya. Yes. And utilize innovative investigation systems to uncover the secrets that lie deep within Kamurocho's corrupt underbelly. Experience visceral combat with two unique combat styles. Take down groups of thugs with sweeping blows in crane style, then switch to tiger and overwhelm a single foe with a series of powerful strikes. Practice mixing and matching styles in combat in conjunction with a wide variety of skills, weapons, and powerful and hilarious EX actions to unlock a whole new dimension in combat. So action adventure, open world. So yeah, Dan, you've played some of this. What do you think of this coming out in a remastered edition?
Yeah, I'll finish it. It's great. No, it's good. Good. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just more of the same, you know. But yeah, no, it's good. Good game.
Yeah, to me, it looks like it's an actual Yakuza game, basically.
I mean, it is essentially. Yeah. There's no difference. You do all the same things you do in the Yakuza series. It's just, you know. Mm.
And finally on the list, Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Coming for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So it's a remake.
Brilliant.
Action RPG.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead. You were going
to. No, I just want to talk about this because this is one of my favorite games of all time. Okay. It's friggin' brilliant. It got overlooked and didn't get the praise it deserved first time around. So hopefully people will twig because it is pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and read the summary of it here real quick. Yeah. So get ready to experience where the Nier series all began. Nier Replicant version. Here we go again. 1.22474487139. Set in post-apocalyptic world, Nier Replicant puts you in the role of the titler Nier, a young man on a quest to cure his sister Yona of a deadly disease. What they discover will make them question everything they thought they knew. The original Nier release has an intriguing history. In Japan, there were two versions of the game, Nier Replicant and Nier Gestalt. Nier Replicant focuses on the brother Nier and his sister Yona. In Nier Gestalt, the main character was Father Nier and Yona, his daughter. Only Nier Gestalt released in the West under the name Nier in caps. So, that's excitingly, this will be... Yep, this will be the first time many people will have played the Replicant version of the game. So, Dan, you were saying, yeah, one of your favorites of all time, eh?
It's so good. If you've played Replicant, Automata, rather, sorry. Yep, that's good. You'll know kind of what to expect. They're very similar games, but the development history is really weird. Yeah, So, Japan had the original launch and they remade it as the old man later on. So it kind of like Japan, young boy and sister, West, old man and daughter. And then back in Japan, it was old man and daughter again. Yeah. It is so weird.
I played like Nier. It was just Nier. The first one, like,
yeah.
Old man and daughter. That's the one that I played. And I remember it being amazing.
It's pretty. I think it's better than the sequel, to be honest. But, yeah, I'm glad this is getting a fancy upgrade. But again, they want the full bloody price for it. They want £50 for it. Yeah. You've got to be effing mental. But the game's like 10 years old now.
Yeah.
It's like, £50. What?
Yeah.
And there's so much going on. Like, I mean, that title, version 1.2, that'll almost certainly mean something. Like, there's so much really obscure stuff hidden away in the game that, there's a lot to find, a lot of hidden lore, and, very excited for this. When it's not crazy money, I'll definitely be having that.
Yeah. I think my pick of this week would be Judgment, because I haven't played it yet, and...
it's really good.
You know, yeah, I want to see what the story's like in it, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if it's anywhere close to any of the stories in the Yakuza series, then... should be really good. So
yeah, that's up. Yeah,
Phoenix, what about you? What's your pick of the week?
Games.
Yeah,
I don't really. Maybe none.
No,
I think I'm gonna. Yeah, I mean, I'm just. I don't know. I don't really have.
If you had to pick one, what would you pick?
The Nier Replicant.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Because, like I said, I played Nier, but I never played Replicant, and I didn't know it was different. So I definitely want to get back to the roots on that one. Like Dan said, Automa or whatever, it was good. It just wasn't like as good as the original, and I didn't know there was two different versions though. So I definitely I'll be checking that one out.
Cool.
When it's not full price.
Yeah, that's the rub.
Yeah,
that needs to stop.
About you, is it Replicant?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, definitely we'll be having that. I've played Judgment. Like, I don't know how much graphically better it can get, because it did look very, very nice on the PS4 Pro. So I don't know what the remaster is going to add, but a few more.
Well, I think it's 60 frames per second.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's
one of the main things they were pushing for it. So native 60 frames per second or something like
that. Right. If Nier hadn't been coming out, it would have been that. Cause it's a good game. It did piss me off a little bit. I did rage quit a couple of times. I actually streamed a couple of quality rage quits. So, yeah.
So, you guys are into the Yakuza series?
Yeah, I've got them all now. I've got every single last one.
Whee!
I tried playing one, but I couldn't understand, like, what was going on. Like, I understand Yakuza is, like, a, you know, Japanese mafia style, like, but I don't know, like, how to pick the story up, you know, like where should I start?
You've got to start well, one or zero, because it's
zero is really good story.
Yeah, I mean, zero is a really good place to start. Yeah, in general, because it's also a really, really, really good game.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. I'm pretty sure they're all on Game Pass now. So,
yeah. I think they are. Yeah,
the majority of them. I think the newest one still isn't up on it yet, but it will probably be coming soon. But yeah, I mean, for Dan and I, Phoenix, I mean, Dan used to live in Japan. I live in Japan, and it's basically like walking down the streets of Tokyo. I
mean, it really is.
Knowing where we're going. You know, it's like, oh, there's the Don Quixote. Oh, there's this. There's the Lawson Station. You know, it's like, yeah.
And it's based on a real dodgy part of Tokyo called
Kabukicho.
Which is okay. It used to be really, really bad. They've kind of gentrified it now, but it's that sort of place. Is you know, dodgy ladies of the night and soap massage parlors and stuff.
I'll download it and I'll do it.
at pachinko parlors that are basically, some of the owners actually funnel money from North Korea, or to North Korea.
Is that right?
From yeah, they're Korean owners of some of those pachinko parlors, and so they're funneling money from what I've heard. Yeah, so crazy, but yeah, Kabukicho is yeah, especially at night. Not the best place to walk around in Japan alone at night. That's for sure.
The first time I went to Japan, I went on like a package tour group, and our hotel was in Kabukicho. It's friggin' awesome. It's awesome. The only thing you'd worry about is if you're a guy on your own, like you get hassled all the time to come to my bar. We've got these ladies, we've got drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always a scam. It's like, oh, come to my
bar. Hostess bars. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so come to my bar. For 20 quid, you can drink all you want for an hour and then just go again. And you know that as soon as you get in that door, you are fucked. Like, you are not leaving 20 quid lighter. You're leaving 200, 300 pounds lighter. There's no chance.
That's right. Yeah.
They fleece you alive in there. And they'll hit you like
they sucker you.
Service fees and overpriced alcohol. Yeah, don't do it. Run like hell.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah, very good. So that was the new and upcoming game releases for the week of April 19th through the 25th. So now, Dan, I have a comment for this week.
It wasn't me. I didn't say it. It wasn't me. I was misquoted.
Hold on. Okay.
Okay. I'll get into trouble.
So this comment was from the episode last week, because you were talking about Shining Force.
Excellent
and our
game.
Friend of the show, Turn-Based Carl.
Love that guy.
Of course. He says, thanks for the cool shout-out. He's referring to last week's episode. Ask me anything about Shining Force. Oh, and about leveling. You get max experience when a character's level is lower than an enemy's level, but you can't see an enemy's level.
Yeah.
You only need 100 EXP experience to level with 49 EXP being the max you get on a kill.
Yeah.
He says, I usually repeat battles to get everyone around the same level. Soften enemies up to give a weak character the killing blow.
Yeah.
Also, a change from Shining Force 1 to Shining Force 2. Previously, any experience over 100 was lost when you level up, but that amount carries over now into the second game, making leveling a bit quicker. So that's from our friend of the show, Turn-Based Carl. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Shining Force
1 and 2, like, I beat both of those games. They were both amazing. But that's the way they had 3 set up. 3 was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it was different. It wasn't like 1 and 2.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed 1. Yeah, I will play 2. I think I just played it. I didn't play it wrong, but there's a way to play it. I didn't realize. Because it seemed to me like going into a fight and coming out again and going back in, it felt like a bit like cheating. But now that's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to go in there, level up your guys, and you know, rampage through the game. You know, have a couple of guys, level them up, then quit the battle, and then start again. Quit the battle, start again. Just to make sure.
I can't remember if it's on the first one or the second one, but you get this the bird.
Yeah, you get a couple of them. Yeah. Well,
if you level that bird up, if you level that bird up, he'll turn into a phoenix. And
right on. Oh, I might be second
like
one.
Part of. Like where my name came from, like
your avatar, right? Phoenix, yeah.
The phoenix is a resemblance, you know, a few different reasons, but the phoenix in that game, dude, he is one of the most powerful characters in that game.
Go on. Sorry.
The phoenix, like originally, you know, I was Phalanx. Like my name's Alex, and originally my name was Phalanx Unknown because I was just starting off. I was unknown. And the Phalanx, you know, my name's Alex, but the F in Phalanx stands for Fat Alex because I'm a hefty guy. But I reached like a pretty much a low point in my life. And so when I changed my name to Phoenix Arisen, that was, you know, basically like I'm at nothing. I'm starting over. I'm arising from the ashes and I'm going to be this fucking big presence eventually.
Oh, that's awesome. For sure.
Awesome, man.
Also, one more thing. So, I promise my regular listeners will be bored to tears of hearing about bloody Shining Force. Although, play it. Everyone should play it.
Definitely.
I only found about 2/3 of characters. I looked it up on friggin' Wikipedia. There's like 25 characters, and I found like 10. There's a whole group of people I had no idea were in the game.
And that makes... And like, you could use every character in battle, pretty much. So, you need to make sure, you know what I'm saying, that you find everyone. Because you like, even when you go to your base, you could see where slots where people are supposed to be standing. And you're like, where the fuck are they at? I've been everywhere on the map.
Like,
you just have to explore. It's one of those games that doesn't hold your hand. You know, like, you have to figure stuff out for your own.
Yeah, it's absolutely bonkers. Really, really good. But yeah, I missed so much stuff playing it first time around.
I really want to go back. And I'm actually, if I can figure it out how to do it, I might actually download those emulators and stream those.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
get on it.
Cool. All right. So before we conclude the episode, I want to let everyone know where you can find me on social media. You can find my website for gaming content at expat2020.live and all my other social media links to Twitter, Instagram, my Discord server, the podcast website, as well as my YouTube channels at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/expat2020. I'm also a live streamer and a Twitch affiliate. You can catch my live streams whenever I live stream on twitch.tv/expat2020. And I do a special event live stream. It's a supplement to the podcast on Fridays called The Arena, multi-platform gaming news week in review live stream, which will be back next Friday from 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and 3 p.m. British Summer Time. And probably this coming week, I'll be trying to get back to some more of Oddworld Soulstorm and maybe some other indie titles. Speaking of indie titles, like we were tonight. So, Phoenix, where can people find you on social media, and what are you going to be gaming or streaming this coming week?
You can find me at twitch.tv/Phoenix Horizon. I'm also a Twitch affiliate. You can find my YouTube at youtube.com/AlexHennett221. I haven't got like my own link yet, so that's where that's at. It's AlexHinnant221. And then I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok. I actually have a viral Breath of the Wild video, so I got over 22,000 views on there. So that was pretty cool. And on TikTok, it's just Phoenix Horizon. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm not on any, like, well, I do have Facebook, but it's not like that big yet. But Facebook's also just Phoenix Horizon.
Cool. All right. So, and, yeah.
As far as what I'll be playing, I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode. Things have been kind of rough for me lately. I had to send my wife to rehab.
God damn. That's horrible.
Yeah. So I've been kind of doing like, yeah, I mean, I hope so. I haven't, she's been there for a week so far, and like, you know, there's no contact first 30 days. So I'm having to do like the whole mom and dad thing by myself, and working and having two kids. You know, it's like I got a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. So it's just been pretty rough for me lately, and pretty much impossible to actually produce any content and stream. And I'm trying to get back into a routine, and I've got her mom helping me, and I've got a couple other friends that are offering help. So hopefully things soon can get back to a routine, but I'm definitely going to be streaming after this show right now, like as soon as we get done. But I want to stream. I do want to do the Shining Forces, but I'm going to like probably just play something, you know, just to have some fun and kind of like cut loose a little bit and relax. Sure. So today I'm probably going to be doing either Ancestors or The Forest.
All right. Yeah.
I see.
Good games.
Cool. Well, Phoenix, thanks so much for coming on. This is your second appearance on The Arena, and we really appreciate having you come on, man. You're a great friend, and look forward to having you on again soon, man. So thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to be here. You guys are awesome.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Been good.
And Dan, how about you, man? What are you going to be streaming or playing this week, and where can people find you as well on social media?
So I've been thinking about I'll be playing loads more oldies and original hardware. I think I might start streaming because I have the mains to stream from original hardware, although it just always looks really crap. So I might be. I am on Twitch. Press start to game, all one word. Press start to game. That's my Twitch handle. I stream whenever I can be asked, or when my girlfriend is bored and wants to watch me play something. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'll be streaming some stuff in the near future. Some stuff. And I'm still working on a video project. It's taken a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. I've already got like a 5,000 word script, which is making me really nervous. So I might have to start cutting that down. But yeah, that'll be on my YouTube channel, which is also Press Start to Game. But that's pretty inactive at the moment because I'm still working on it. So yeah, all right, that's all. Man. That's all for me.
Dan, cool. how do you spell that? Like press? What do you mean press start two?
So my name, yeah. So on Twitch, I'm press start two game. So it's those five words at press start two game. Four words in one. So it's like PRESSSTARTTOGAME. All one word, one big chunk. Press start to game, all in one block. Yeah, that's me on Twitch.
All right. Thanks, Dan, man. No, I appreciate it.
Cool.
Okay, so to end the episode, our indie recording artist spotlight. Our spotlight this week is on Anna Moore. Emerging R&B singer-songwriter Anna Moore discovered her love for music after writing poems at the age of 9 and eventually turned to songwriting. Influenced mainly by 90s R&B, the Pennsylvania native, Atlanta-based singer focuses on writing, referencing inspirational lyrics and harmonious backing vocals as she continues to grow and evolve, making a name for herself in the industry. From her album titled Cloud Surfing, and the song is called This Song for You. This has been The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. This has been episode 34. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Dan, and our special guest, Phoenix Arising. We hope to catch you in the next one. So take care, everyone. Peace out.
Peace, bye. Peace, chicken grease.
That's awesome.
Send me in a frenzy. What could I do? I could think.